The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, Chapter Number 11, Text Number 4, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Hadhikari, recorded on November 25th, 2006, in Doha, Qatar.
So, today we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto Number 6, Chapter Number 11, Text Number 4. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Kingvaracharitair matur Navadvi prishtotohadai Nahi bhita vadashlagyo Nasvargya shuramaninam. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada.
Yes, Srila
Prabhupada. O demigods, those demoniac soldiers who have taken birth uselessly, Indeed, they have come from the bodies of their mothers exactly like stool. What is the benefit of killing such enemies from behind while they are running in fear? One who considers himself a hero should not kill an enemy who is afraid of losing his life. Such killing is never glorious, nor can it promote one to the heavenly planets. Dhritarashtra rebuked both the demigods and the demoniac soldiers. Because the demons were running in fear of their lives, and the demigods were killing them from behind. The actions of both were abominable. When a fight takes place, the imposing parties must be prepared to fight like heroes. A hero never runs from the field of battle. He always fights face to face, determined to gain victory or lay down his life in the fight. That is heroic. Killing an enemy from behind is also inglorious. When an enemy turns his back and runs in fear of his life, he should not be killed. This is the etiquette of military science. Dhritarashtra insulted the demoniac soldiers by comparing them to the stool of their mothers. Both stool and a cowardly son come from the abdomen of the mother. And Vritrasura said that there is no difference between them. A similar comparison was given by Tulsidas, who commented that a son and urine both come from the same channel. In other words, semen and urine both come from the genitals. But semen produces a child, whereas urine produces nothing. Therefore, if a child is neither a hero nor a devotee, he is not a son, but urine. Similarly, Chanakya Pandit also says, Kurta putrena jatena yona vidvan nadharmikaha Kanena chakshusha kingba chakshu vidaiva kevalam. What is the use of a son who is neither glorious nor devoted to the Lord? Such a son is like a blind eye, which simply gives pain but cannot help one see. So the sons here should not be talking during the class. They become blind eyes. Urine. They should be hearing. You want to not be, if you don't hear, then you are urine. That's all. You don't want to be urine, do you? Om Agyanati Manandasha Gnanjana Shalaka Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svai Rupakadam Dadati Svapadantikam. So, this human form of life is very, very rare. It is achieved after great difficulties. So everyone should be listening. There shouldn't be any chatting going on. Not one person should be speaking in this room except for this one who is giving the class. Everyone should be completely quiet. It is aparad to talk while the lecture is being given. It is offense. So everyone should learn not to speak during the class. Only the speaker should speak, and then when there is question time, then you can ask question. So this human form of life is achieved after great, great difficulty. We have transmigrated through 8,400,000 species of life. Jalajanavalakshani Stavara Lakshavingshati Krimaya Rudra Sankhyaka Pakshinam Dashalakshanam Chatur Lakshani Pashava. What is it? Chatur Lakshani Manasa. So it is with great difficulty that we have gotten this human form. It's not an easy thing to have human birth. What we have gone through to get to this human lifetime, we do not remember. We do not remember what we have gone through to get this human life. Very, very difficult situations we have gone through to come to this human form. Can you imagine being a plant, being a tree in the hot Qatar summer, having to stand out in the heat, or to be some tree in the cold Arctic region, or subarctic region, it's freezing cold weather? But we have been that. We have been trees. We have been fish. We've been in every species, going through so many difficulties. So many difficulties. It is not an easy thing to have this human body. Not an easy thing. So now that we have this human body, we must utilize properly. Otherwise it is wasted. The whole thing is wasted. Someone may say, well, I'm just a boy or a little girl. I don't need to worry about this. Now is my time for playing. Running and playing and being frivolous, you see. But that is not what Prahlad Maharaj says. Prahlad Maharaj told his classmates that you must take up seriously this Krishna consciousness. And they said, Prahlad, but I'm just a little boy. I'm just going to play. Why should I take up this Krishna bhakti very seriously? But Prahlad Maharaj told them, my dear classmates, you must take this up now. You must take this up now. So you can't say, I'm just a little boy, a little girl, I don't have to worry about these things. I will just play. That's it. No. You must not do like that. You must very seriously take Krishna consciousness right now. You must seriously take it now. Immediately take it. Cannot wait. This cannot wait. Everyone must take this Krishna consciousness very, very seriously right now. Time and tide wait for no man. We do not know how much longer we will live. We can die at any time. That's a fact. At any minute we can leave the body. In any age, a little child can leave the body. A middle-aged person, an old man, it doesn't matter. At any age we can leave the body. Therefore, we must seriously take this Krishna consciousness right now. Every one of us, little children must take, teenagers, adults, old people. We must all very seriously take Krishna consciousness right now. We should live our life as if this is our last day. You see? Why? Because one day it will be your last day. Can you guarantee me, any one of you in this room, can any one of you here in this room guarantee me that this is not your last day? Can you guarantee, any one of you guarantee, this is not your last day on this planet? No. Not one of you can make this guarantee. Therefore, every one of you must seriously take this Krishna consciousness. And seriously take it. Of course, we do our normal activities as if we will live to be 80 years old. That is all right. You continue to act as if you will live, but at the same time, you have to act as if you may die at any minute. Both things we do. After all, if I knew for sure I was going to die today, why even bother paying my rent? Or putting another more gasoline in the tank of my car? I mean, that wouldn't make any sense. So you work it from both ends. You assume that you will live to be 80, 90, whatever. At the same time, you act as if that could be finished in any second. So you do both things simultaneously. You can plan for your retirement, that is everything. At the same time, understand that that plan may be disrupted by anything. So work it from both ends. That is the proper system. So here we are seeing Vichasura, how he is chastising these enemies. Actually, he is chastising the demigods, yes. He's rebuking both of them, actually. For a soldier to run in fear, that is not proper. Kshatriya means he must stand and fight, either to achieve victory or to be killed. But he must never run from the battlefield. But it is also inglorious to kill the cowardly soldier who is running from the battlefield. So both are being rebuked. Compared to stool. It's like the mother, from her body comes forth the baby, and also from her body comes stool. So Vichasura is comparing these demoniac soldiers to stool. So, if we do not take up Krishna consciousness, in that sense, we also are simply the stool of our mother's body. So, would you like to be stool? That is not very nice. Would you like to be stool? No. Some gross, nasty thing. Who wants to be stool? Therefore, we must seriously take up Krishna consciousness. Tato Brahma Jigyasa. Now that you have a human life, you must utilize it to understand who you are, where you have come from, where you are going, how you will achieve the perfection of existence. Human life is meant for asking these questions and finding that person who could answer these questions. The bona fide spiritual master. Tasmad gurum prapadye cha jigyashu shreya uttamam. If you actually want to realize the ultimate benefit of human existence, then you must take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master by initiation. So what is required for initiation? You must chant at least 16 rounds daily on Japamala. And you must strictly follow the regulated principles of freedom. No illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, and no gambling. You see, do not waste your life in frivolous activities. Utilize every moment of your existence for moving forward in Krishna consciousness. You see, this is intelligence. We must utilize every minute. If one moment is being used outside of the service of Krishna, that is waste. Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, he has ordered us, do not waste a single moment outside of Krishna consciousness. So we have to live our life in such a way that we are cultivating Krishna bhakti at every minute, whether I'm working at the office, whether I'm attending school, whether I'm doing household activities, whatever I may be doing, I must do that in such a way that it's for the pleasure of Krishna. Yat karoshi, yad ashnashi, yad jahosi dadasi yat, yat tapasyashi konteya, tat kadushva madarpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer, give away, as well as whatever austerities you may perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering unto me. This we must do. Everything must be for who? Krishna, isn't it? Everything must be for Krishna. If you're doing something and it is not for Krishna, then what you should do with that thing? You should stop doing them. That's all. If you're doing something and it is not for Krishna, then you must stop it immediately. You see, because you're wasting your time. Shrama eva hi kevalam. It is useless waste of labor. Any thought you may have, if it is not pleasing to Krishna, you must stop that thought. You must replace it with a thought which is pleasing to Krishna. Any words you speak, if they are not pleasing to Krishna, you must immediately shut up your mouth. Stop saying that nonsense thing. You should only speak that which is pleasing to Krishna. And if you are doing something which is not pleasing to Krishna, immediately stop it. If you find that your senses are out of control, then immediately put a stop. That's it. Immediately put a stop. As long as you're doing something with your hands which is not for Krishna, you see, then immediately stop. Just put your hands still and hear. You see, we are looking for pleasure, isn't it? We want to enjoy it. We want to have fun, isn't it? We want to have some fun. We're thinking, well, if I play with my fingers, I do something, maybe I can enjoy. But really, the real enjoyment comes by hearing. If we can hear very nicely from Guru Maharaj, you see, from senior Vaishnavas, if we can hear very nicely the words of Krishna, then that hearing will connect us with our eternally blissful, all-knowledgeable spiritual self. You have an unlimited reservoir of pleasure within your heart at this very minute. And by rapt hearing, which means focused, highly focused hearing from the words of the spiritual master, you will be connected with your eternal blissful self. You will relish pleasure which goes beyond any pleasure you ever dreamed you could taste in this material existence. And see, this is the advantage of hearing. This is why we told no one should be talking. You see, everyone has to learn how to hear. When the class is going on, everyone has to learn how to hear very, very nicely. Everyone, the children, babies, everyone. Old men, old women, everyone. By absorbing and hearing the transcendental sound vibration, Shabda Brahma, by absorbing our consciousness, in hearing this transcendental sound vibration, our consciousness is elevated beyond the suffering of this material existence. our consciousness is elevated to the spiritual platform, where life is eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss. If I gave you a choice, I said on one hand, I will give you temporality, I will give you illusion, and I will give you suffering. On the other hand, I say, I will give you eternity, I will give you knowledge, and I will give you bliss. Which would you prefer? Would you prefer temporality, illusion, and suffering? Or would you prefer eternity, knowledge, and bliss? What will you take? Will you take eternity, knowledge, and bliss, or temporality, illusion, and suffering? What will you take? Huh? Very good. He is learned Brahman, you see. He will take eternity, knowledge, and bliss. He will not take temporality, suffering, and illusion. So all of the children must have this understanding, like this young boy has. He's been very nicely trained, you see. All of the children must have this understanding. And then if the children have it, everyone will have it, you see. Hopefully. Sometimes the children are more smart than the adults. But this understanding must be there. We should not want temporality, suffering, and illusion. We should prefer eternity, knowledge, and bliss. So how we will get that? If you just go about a life of sense enjoyment, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, then what you end up with? Nothing but temporality, suffering, and illusion, lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. Isn't it a fact? That's all you get. Sense gratification is death. That's all it is. It's simply death. If I offer you death right now, would you like it? Come up here, I have a gun. I will put you to death right now. Come on. Who will come and volunteer? Yes, I want to die. But yet we are going after sense gratification. It's the same thing. Why are we doing that? Because we are foolish. We do not realize that sense gratification is death. That is our foolishness. So we have to realize there is no life except through bhakti. There is no life except through bhakti. You cannot find happiness in a TV set. You cannot find happiness in any material thing. If that material thing, however, is used in Krishna's service, then you can find. Just like we have magazines, we have books. They are normally mundane things. Every book and magazine in the stores, it is mundane. But if we make one magazine, Back to Godhead magazine, if we make one book, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, we publish these transcendental literatures, then they will save us. And if we put transcendental TV shows on the air, on the network, then that will save us also. Anything mundane, if it can be used in the service of Krishna, it is a mistake to give it up. We don't say to give up this material world, we say use this material world in the service of Krishna, and then it regains its original spiritual nature. Because everything emanates from God. Aham sarvasya prabhava matak sarvam brahmadade. Because everything emanates from God, therefore everything is the energy of God. And everything is spiritual in its original condition. Things become material only when we use them for sense gratification. Otherwise there is nothing material. Everything is spiritual. So we have to follow the orders of our beloved Srila Prabhupada. He is teaching us in these wonderful books how to utilize the whole world in Krishna's service. So we will simply take the instructions of Srila Prabhupada very, very seriously. Then we will live in Vaikuntha Dham at every minute. We will not be living in Doha or Bombay. Or whatever. We will be living in a sweet transcendental existence with Lord Sri Krishna. Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's right. Who is Krishna? That's right. That's right. That's all you have to know to become first-class preacher. You simply have to know that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then you can become first-class preacher. I don't care if you're a little girl, you're a little boy, an old man, a housewife, an investment banker. I don't care what you are. If you know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and you boldly tell everyone you meet, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then you become first-class preacher, you see. You do not have to be a learned Brahmin learning 10,000 shlokas. You see. You don't have to be an austere yogi sitting in the Himalayan mountains in the ice without any clothing on. No such rigid austerity is required. You simply have to know that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then you become first-class preacher. Simple thing. So now you children, you know this. You must all become the preachers of this Krishna consciousness movement. You must all become. Tell your friends. Tell everyone. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we can ask now if there's any questions. You know what? I have a warning for you. I have a policy. If you don't ask me questions, I'm going to ask you questions. According to Bhagavad Gita, when spiritual master is present, it is your duty to ask questions. So why are you not asking questions? That is the instruction. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshantite jnanam jnaninas tatpadarshinah. So why are you not asking questions? You're not doing your duty. Why are you not doing your duty? That's my question for you.
Regarding gambling.
Mm-hmm.
Like, gambling is prohibited.
Mm-hmm.
But Yudhishthira Maharaj, he was playing gambling.
Yeah. Yudhishthira Maharaj, you cannot imitate Yudhishthira Maharaj. We cannot imitate the activities of the great liberated personalities who are, you know, associates of Lord Sri Krishna. They may do, but just see what trouble he got into from gambling also. He lost everything. You want to lose everything? You want to lose your house? You want to lose your wife? Lose your kids? Lose everything? And be living in the forest? You bring Yudhishthira Maharaj's example, but just see the result of his gambling. So you think it was a very nice result to be going to exile?
He was a highly elevated soul, but
yes, yes. And even for a highly elevated soul, just see what trouble he got into by gambling. So, if we have intelligence, we will not think of gambling. Yes, I will win the lottery. Surely I'll win the lottery. I'll give the money to Krishna when I win half of it. There was actually one gambler in South India. He bet on the horses. So, that, you know, in South India, that Tirupati, that Venkateshwara, everyone goes to him to have their material desires fulfilled. So this gambler, he went to Lord Venkateshwara. He said, "My dear Lord, I am betting on this horse. And if he wins the race, I will split 50-50 with you." Making business deal. So I don't know the exact amount of the prize. Maybe, let's say What is it? Maybe, I don't know what the prizes are in horse racing. Maybe, oh, they give 40,000 rupees? Is that too little? Maybe 400,000 rupees. The prize is 400,000 rupees for first place. So, the horse, he bet on the horse. The horse did not win. He came in second. Which means the prize was 200,000 rupees. What is that? 2 lakhs. Yes, 2 lakhs. Instead of 4 lakhs rupees, it was 2 lakhs. So he had promised he would give 2 lakhs to Venkateshwara, you see, if his horse came in first. He would keep 2 lakhs for himself and give 2 lakhs to Venkateshwara. So when his horse came in second, he came before the Lord. Did he say, okay, Lord, now I give you 1 lakh? Nobody. He says, my dear Lord, you didn't trust me. You already took your half. You see? This is called cheating mentality. He should have. If he was a devotee, he would say, all right, you take your half then. No, he's, no, my Lord, you didn't trust me. You tried to cheat me. So I'm going to keep my half. You've already got yours. You see? So this is the mood of a person who is addicted to gambling. They become lusty and they become greedy. That's a fact. It is called gambler's fever. Now, actually, compulsive gambling is a disease, psychological disease. I have one student in Latvia. He is a professional. The government has hired him to help people get over compulsive gambling. That's his job that he does. It's an addiction. So gambling actually spoils one's intelligence. Therefore, we protect our devotees by prohibiting them from gambling. Any other questions?
I have two questions for you. First question is it possible for me to see Lord Krishna in person?
Yes.
Second question is, have you seen Lord Krishna in person?
Is God where?
Lord Krishna in person.
In person, okay. Alright. So the question is it possible to see? And the answer is yes. The second question is, have you seen? Actually, Srila Prabhupada has ordered me, and personally, directly ordered me, that I must qualify myself to see Krishna. So, let me ask you, why are you asking if I have seen Krishna or not? What is your purpose of asking that question?
Only through you I can see. If you guide me, if you have seen them, I'll be
seeing. Oh, because you want to see Krishna, and you want to know if I can... And if I can teach you how to see Krishna?
Yes.
That I can do. Because my spiritual master has taught me the system of how to see Krishna by my purely teaching to you exactly what he has taught to me. Just as I can see Krishna by following the instructions, the system given to me by him. You can also see Krishna by that same system. So that is the answer. Yes, one can see God. Actually, in this connection, Srila Prabhupada says, actually everyone is seeing God. You are seeing God at this very minute, actually. Everyone is seeing God. Do we have any auto mechanics here? Any auto mechanics present? Raise your hand if you're auto mechanic. Any auto mechanic? Is there an auto mechanic? Here's one. Okay. Now, when you look in the engine, you lift the hood on your car and you look at the engine, you are seeing the engine. You see. But when our auto mechanic here, of course he is Brahmana, the transcendental auto mechanic, when he looks at the engine of the car, he sees something differently than what you see. You see. Because your car doesn't work. You try to start it, nothing happens. You look under the hood and you have no idea. Even though you're looking at the engine, you cannot figure out why is it not starting. But you take it to the mechanic, he is also seeing But his seeing is different from your seeing, because he can immediately see, oh, this is wrong. And he can fix your engine. And so on. So actually, we are all seeing God at every minute. But according to one's qualification, according to one's advancement in Krishna consciousness, that seeing is different. So just as the auto mechanic, he can see the engine differently. He can see the engine in such a way to immediately solve your problem. So the spiritual master, you are seeing Krishna, the spiritual master is also seeing Krishna. But his seeing is such that he sees exactly what is the fault in you. And he can teach you how to overcome that fault. You see? He can fix your problem. Guru can fix your problem. Because his seeing of Krishna is different from your seeing of Krishna. Actually, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Rasoham apsukanteya prabhashmi shashishuryayo pranavasarva vedeshu shabdake parashamnushu. O son of Kunti, I am the taste of water, I am the light of the sun and the moon, I am the syllable om in the Vedic mantras, I am the sound and ether and the ability in man. So we are all seeing God. You are seeing the sun every day. You see? You are tasting water. That is Krishna. So we are all seeing God. But the spiritual master, his seeing of God is different than your seeing of God. Because he sees what is deficiency in the heart of the student. And he can teach that student how to overcome that deficiency and become a pure devotee. Any other questions?
Maharaj, we like to teach our children. We all want our children to be the best.
Yes.
We tell them, don't do this.
Yes.
All the time we want to correct them.
Yes.
But children also think they are quite intelligent. So they think that at our age, we were not doing all those things. But we expect our children to do what we were not doing.
Yes, yes.
So like in my younger days, I used to watch a lot of movies.
Yes, yes.
And now I expect my children not to watch any movies.
Yes, yes.
So how is it that...
The easy way to raise your children to be pure devotees, it's a very simple formula. If you're prepared to follow this instruction, you can easily make all of your children Krishna conscious. And that is, you have to be purely Krishna conscious, that's all. You have to be constantly engaged in pure devotional activities. And simply, and then engage your children and doing them with you. That's the key. Even if it's a, don't just like in the material world, they put on the TV set and they just say, I'm going to get the kids out of my hair, I'll put them with the television, and now I can enjoy. You see, that's wrong. The parents have to engage in devotional service and keep the children with you, engaged in devotional service along with you. Just like my disciple, Abhay Charan Das, he is raising a very nice little boy, Kirtan. So when Abhay Charan comes to cut up vegetables for Sunday feast, he brings Kirtan with him. And when he's cutting with a sharp knife, he gives Kirtan a very dull knife and gives him some vegetables to cut. So when the father is cutting vegetables, the little boy is beside him. They're both cutting vegetables together. Just like in material world, they say if you want to make good relationship with your son, then you should play baseball with your son. So he will bond with the father. So the same principle we apply. Don't play around now. This is serious business. No playing around. We bond with our children by doing bhakti together with our children. If I'm cutting vegetables, then I let my child cut vegetables along with me at the same time. If I'm washing dishes, my child, he can also wash dishes at the same time. Whatever I'm doing, my child will do it with me. And this way he's raising his boy, and at 3 years old he's becoming highly advanced devotee.
There is a hitch to this, right? Like when we do aarti, the children, small children, they are very attracted. they come, they join us. But they lose interest very soon. Over a period of time, they say, okay, this is the same aarti every day. So children, they want something different all the time. They're not happy with just same routine going on every day. Like, we got a taste, we're doing an aarti.
The children's natural tendency is to imitate the parents. You simply have to always be engaged in devotional activities and engage your children in doing them with you. That's all you have to do. You have to yourself be fully satisfied by bhakti activity. If you're actually feeling happiness in that activity, the child will want to connect with that happiness. Simple yad yad acharati shrestas tattare vetaro jana siyat pramanam kurute lokastara nivartate. It's very simple, Prabhu. You simply become acharya, that's all. An acharya, he can attract the whole world. So your children, they're part of the whole world, isn't it? You simply have to become acharya. Do you think only Guru Maharaj is supposed to be an acharya? Disciple is not supposed to be an acharya. No. Everyone is meant to become acharya, an ideal example of Krishna consciousness. Goswami means one who has mastered the senses. Do you think only the sannyasi is supposed to be Goswami? No. Every householder must be Goswami also.
We all know that Radharani is not actually Krishna's wife. Whereas Rukmani is a Krishna's wife.
The Radharani is...
It's not Krishna's
wife. Not wife, okay.
And Rukmani, Maharani is a Krishna's wife.
Yes, yes.
We who worship Radharani and Krishna, not Rukmani. Everywhere we see that...
We can... Rukmani is also worshipped, just like we have... In Los Angeles temple, we have Dvarkadish and Rukmini. That worship is there also in our movement. But that Radha, that is higher level, you see. Because that paramour love is higher, it is more intense love than domestic love, you see. It's like in married life, there is some, in the beginning there is very strong romance, but the romance begins to fade away. It's doing domestic activities. Not so romantic after a while, isn't it? But when there is paramour love, it's always romantic. It never loses the romantic intensity, you see. So that is... Radharani is in the mood of paramour, always not wanting to get caught by Abhimanyu. You see. That is intense love. The romance of Radharani never fades. That Radha Krishna love is very, very romantic love. It never loses never fades away into domestic life. It always remains intensely romantic. Therefore, that is the highest love. Of course, it is Leela only. Radharani is Krishna's Ladini Shakti. You cannot judge by your mundane morality, oh, it's not proper, they're not married. No, you cannot judge. This is beyond mundane morality. She's the Ladini Shakti. She's emanating from Krishna's body. She's his energy. You cannot say Krishna is immoral. Is it? That is an immorality. If anyone who accuses Krishna of immorality, he is immoral to do that. That is Krishna's own energy emanating from his own body. Ladini Shakti. Actually, everything is the energy of Krishna. So you cannot judge Krishna by mundane morality. That is sinful. Krishna is completely beyond mundane morality. Everything is his energy. Everything that exists is his energy. Next question.
How to concentrate our mind in the feet of Lord Krishna? How to concentrate our mind in the feet of Lord?
How do you surrender your mind to the lotus feet of Krishna?
How to concentrate?
How do you concentrate on Krishna?
On the lotus feet of Krishna.
How do you concentrate your mind on the lotus feet of Krishna? Is that the question? Okay. Yes. Shravana kirtana smanana bandana shravana kirtana dashare pujana sakhi jana mani vedana govinda dasa bilasare. You simply have to engage yourself fully, all activities. That's all. And when you want to see something, you should see something which is connecting you with Krishna. When you want to hear some pleasing sound, you should hear some sounds which connect you with Krishna. When you want to smell some exotic fragrance, you should smell something which is in relation with Krishna. When you want to taste some delicious foodstuff, then you should taste something which is in relationship with Krishna. When you want to feel some wonderful sensation, you should feel something in relation with Krishna, your japa beads. So in this way, if you engage all of your senses, you connect every one of your senses with Krishna. If you want to walk somewhere, then you walk to the Hare Krishna program. You see, whatever you want to do, your knowledge acquiring or working senses. If you want to have sex, then you mate with your wife to make a Krishna conscious child, you see. Whatever you want to do with your senses, you do all of that for Krishna. And the mind is the pivot point of all the senses. Just like there is a wheel, there are so many spokes. And there is the hub of that wheel. So each one of your senses is a spoke, but the mind is the hub. So if you engage all of your senses in the service of Krishna, then your mind is trapped. It has, and it'll have nothing to do except be absorbed, fully concentrated on the lotus feet of Krishna. It'll have nowhere else to go. Indriyanam hi charitam yam manonu vidiyate tatashaharati pragyam vayarabha vimambasi. As a boat on the water is swept away by a strong wind, even one of the senses on which the mind focuses can carry away a man's intelligence. So don't let even one of your senses go away from Krishna. You must bring every one of your senses into devotional service. And then your mind will be trapped, blissfully trapped, stuck like glue to the lotus feet of Krishna. Is that all right? Yeah. Any questions? Yeah.
When
Krishna left Vrindavan? Yeah, and never came back, yeah.
Why didn't he return back?
Why didn't he come back? Yeah. Actually, that is external show only. Vrindavanam putit yajo napada ekam gacchati. It is stated that Krishna never sets even one foot outside of Vrindavan. Krishna simply appears to leave Vrindavan for what purpose? Simply to increase the intensity of the loving feeling of the Brijabasis for him. That's it. When a boy and girl are in love, they are together. When they are together, it is very intense love feelings. But when they are separated from each other, then that love becomes even more intense. Just like they sometimes write love letters, dear Susie, dear John. You see? And the intensity of love in those love letters is much more intense than what they express when they're with each other. So this is called vipra lamba. Love in separation is more intense than love in meeting. So Krishna actually has blessed the Brijavasis by apparently leaving from Vrindavan to fan the fire of that love and make it burn hotter and hotter and hotter. You see. But actually, Krishna can never leave Vrindavan. Why? Because the gopis have captured Krishna within their hearts. Krishna therefore can never leave Vrindavan. He's captured by the gopis. He simply appears to leave Vrindavan.
He never returned to Yashoda Maya. He never returned back to see Yashoda Maya Tambara.
That is external show only. So the Vrijavasis simply intensify and intensify and intensify more and more and more their loving feelings for Krishna. Krishna actually never leaves Vrindavan. It's simply external show. Krishna is there right now in Vrindavan. The pure devotees can see him in Vrindavan. He is still there, actually. He has never left. He just made a show of leaving. Krishna is there. A pure devotee can go to Vrindavan and actually see Krishna in Vrindavan today, 2006. Krishna is present there. Any other questions? Yes?
I have a question. The question is, a Vaishnava is very meek, puts a tilaka, and he has a particular Vaishnava dress. But Lord Shiva is considered to be the number one Vaishnava. We never see a tilaka on the forehead of Lord Shiva. Why is he considered to be the number one Vaishnava?
Yes, Lord Shiva does not require to follow the rules and regulations. He is not a sadhaka. He's not a sadhana on the level of sadhana bhakti. He is on the liberated platform. Therefore, he can do anything and be Krishna conscious. You cannot imitate. Just like if someone is in the hospital, they are on restricted diet. Then when they get out of the hospital, then they are on unrestricted diet. So Lord Shiva, he is not in the hospital. He is on unrestricted diet. You are in hospital. Therefore, you require restricted diet. Any other questions? Yeah. Vaishnavas are part and parcel of Krishna. Okay.
It's our duty to exhibit that love everybody.
How does one exhibit love towards everyone?
Yes, because it's our duty.
Yes, it is a very simple thing. If you love Krishna and everyone is Krishna's expanded energy, they are non-different from Krishna in that sense. If you love Krishna, then naturally you will love everything which is in relation with Krishna, which is everything that exists. It's like when you feed your belly, all the parts of your body become nourished. When you water the root of the tree, that water goes everywhere. Someone who actually loves Krishna, who genuinely loves Krishna, then he loves everyone. How did Prabhupada attract us? Because he purely loves Krishna. Therefore, he purely loves all the living entities also. And when someone purely loves you, what do you want to do? If you have any sensibility whatsoever, If someone purely loves you, then you want to love them back. So this is how Prabhupada captured all of us. You see, he gave us pure love. No one ever gave us pure love. Our girlfriends, our parents, our brothers, our sisters. No one ever gave us pure love before. Prabhupada was the first person we'd ever met who gave us pure love. So he captured us by his love. You see. So the pure devotee, he purely loves Krishna and he purely loves everyone. There are 26 symptoms of the pure devotee, and one of them, devotee is kind. He's kind to everyone. Even he may apparently be harsh to someone. Just like I might chastise this boy here for horsing around and not sitting straight. You see? But this is love. It's not that I hate him. No, because I love him. Therefore I'm teaching him, you sit nicely. Because this will benefit him spiritually if he sits nicely in the class. You see? In this way, if we actually love Krishna, then we will love all living entities and do everything for their benefit. Any other questions? What is it?
Do we show same love to the Vaishnavas and not the others?
So, love is this. Love is ultimately the same thing. The devotee loves everyone and everything, but that love is given differently according to time, place, and circumstance. Just like the pure devotee, he also loves the tiger. But he will relate with the tiger in a different way than he relates with a brahmana, for example. Panditas samadarshinaha. Those who are learned, they see every living entity equally. But it's not that I will invite you for dinner at my house, and I'll invite the tiger also for dinner at my house. The tiger will be happy to come to my house for dinner, but what will be the dinner? I will be the dinner. So the way we express love for the tiger is different than the way we express love for each other. You see? So we show our love to the Vaishnavas by serving them. And we show our love to the non-Vaishnavas by serving them also, but that service is different. To the non-Vaishnavas, we serve them by telling them about, by giving them a book, selling them a book, or somehow giving them a chance to engage in Krishna consciousness. We show our love to an atheist by defeating his atheism, telling him that he's wrong. That is our love. So that love is expressed differently. The love is the same, but it is expressed differently according to the audience. Love means you want to benefit that person. The doctor, he loves all of his patients. Does he give all of them the same medicine? No. One patient gets this medicine, another patient that medicine. So the Vaishnava, he is expert doctor, soul doctor. He gives to each person just that medicine which is for their benefit, which will cure them of the material disease. Bhava Roga, you see. Or Bhava Roga, yes. Bhava Roga, yes. To cure them of Bhava Roga. Bhava, that is not Roga. Bhava, that is Roga. So cure them of bhava rav. He gives the proper medicine. Next question.
We can continue further in the evening session.
Time is up.
Yeah, time is up. So, all right. Just continue the questions in the evening.
All right, so where will the you can announce the evening program. So, we thank you very much. Rantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.